So you don't go all the way through the night every night?
No. And don't do it if you have a lady, because they think it's weird.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, all right, that was
I
fun.
Think we all do right. Do that.
But sleep is important.
Introducing today's guests on the Friday Beers podcast. They're the two most legendary bros to come out of Southern California since Steven and Talon put Laguna Beach on the map.
Oh, nice.
Their hilarious city council speeches have taken them from viral sensations to the peaks of mainstream comedy, appearing face-to-face with comedic icons like Howard Stern, Ellen DeGeneres, and renowned funny man Jesse Waters.
Democrat talking points are empty. They actually have to debate the policy, and they can't. So they're just lying and screaming racism.
Just like the Dalai Lama and Matthew McConaughey, they're leading a spiritual movement with a cult following to match. Of relentlessly positive bros with great tans and small dogs. They're the hosts of the Going Deep podcast and boys with TJ Chalnoki, Jack Ottman, and the Connor brothers, which is cool because so are we.
So are we. What the fuck is good, Chalnoki?
Bill Hader once called them, quote, so funny. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the shamans of Stoke, Chad Kroger and JT Paul.
Dude, that was so nice. Thank you, man.
Legit move, dude. Yeah. We need to. Powerful we need stuff. That. I think if anyone's ever going to meet with us, I'm just going to. They're like, hey, should we look at anything before we meet with you? I'm just going to send them that.
That's your. Yeah. That's your. Yeah. Your resume.
It's your portfolio.
Yeah.
Your
audio resume. Yeah.
Just before the next stand-up show. Just right, this is where you're going to run out to.
Well, dude, that song. That song. I want to make something where every time you enter a room, that song comes
automatic, clapper. Alan Parsons Project, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know how the song goes after that intro. Yeah, only listened it up to the guitar riff.
It dies down.
It's considerably different. Yeah. All right, fellas, welcome to the Friday Beers podcast. I'm Jack. With me is my brother Max.
Hello.
And with us, as always, is our friend Gary. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys.
And we are joined, as you have heard, by our renowned guests, Chad and JT from Going Deep and many other comedic ventures. Thank you guys for joining us.
You guys are the best. Thank you for having us.
You guys are the best, man.
Oh, no, let's
you're the best, dude.
Yeah.
It's a good way to start.
You're actually the best.
A lot of love. We're also drinking beers. We're drinking Rolling Rocks and Budweiser's.
It's my favorite beer.
So we'll just do a little cheers. Cheers, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
Yeah.
This is why you guys asked us what our favorite beers were.
So this is the first question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why did we select the Rocks and the Buds, dude?
It's my favorite beer.
Yeah,
you know, I know. It's
like the way it tastes.
Should I kick it off with my story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right, dude. Well, I have so many good stories on Budweiser. Like, I've been hammered on these things so many times, and the story that always sticks out, and it's really not that crazy, is I was at a friend's kickback, and I was trying to be a good soldier, and everyone was like, "Hey, we're out of beers to play beer pong," and I was like, "Hey, I'll go grab a 30 rack for everybody." So I go to the liquor store, I buy a 30 rack of Budweiser, and when I came back and gave it to everyone, my friends now. Wife, but girlfriend at the time, who I was meeting for the first time, was like, "What kind of stupid fuck gets Budweiser for beer games?"
Wow.
And just called me out so hard.
Put in your place, dude.
And I was like, my bad. I'll go switch them out. And then she was like, "It's fine." But she wouldn't stop hammering me. And then finally, like 2 hours later, we were walking. This is Newport Beach. We're walking down like one of the alleyways, and I hear my friend being like, "Hey, you're going way too hard on him." And she was like, "I'd call anyone out who did that. I'm sorry, Robert."
What was her problem with Budweiser?
It's too heavy for
drinking. I think it was too heavy for drinking games.
You could just say a goddamn patriot is the guy who gets Bud heavy for drinking games.
But yeah, it's that's always the memory that sticks out for me with Budweiser's. It really made me look like a
And you've been hammering them ever since.
I still drink them. I'll drink them during drinking games,
yeah,
just to disprove her.
Yeah,
you know, anytime I'm around her now, I pop out a Budweiser.
You want to take this time to call her out?
She's really sweet, actually. Yeah, let me call her out. Hey, Katie. Hope you're doing well. Miss you. Hoping to get down to SD for dinner with you and Bob soon.
I love how she didn't let up either when Bob asked her to like maybe ease on you.
No, she stood her ground strong.
You respect the principles. All right, dude. So we on the Friday Beers podcast have a very innovative format. It's going to be a lot different than podcasts you've been on before.
Can I dive into Rolling Rock?
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Oh, right now. Okay. Yeah. So my buddies and I got Rolling Rock in college. And then that day, our buddy Ass Clown did the mobile mangina, which is where he got in the back of a pickup truck in the bed and mangina'd the whole block as it drove down.
Standing up.
Standing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that... It's probably the best moment of my life.
I haven't heard that technique.
I've never heard of mobile mangina.
Yeah. I hadn't either until Ass Clown laid it down.
Eminem, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Ass Clown up to these days?
Dude, I don't know. He's I think he's selling software or some shit.
The guys,
good job, good solid job.
The guys who are doing the mobile mangina typically end up in mundane jobs.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
They still bring it at bachelor parties and stuff like that.
He's got his own office with like a plaque. Yeah. Says Ass Clown.
2014 Southern California, like mid-sized software salesman of the year. Yeah. Ass Clown.
What's up, guys? I'm Ass Clown. I'm your Norton representative.
I think when I met him, I was like, what up, Ass Clown? He's like, it's Steve.
All right. We have an innovative format here. It's a Q&A. So we take questions from the audience. Ooh. And then we ask them to you.
You guys ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah.
No.
Never.
Okay. Yeah. This is our format. All right. Timmy Chandler asks, I'll join this for both of you guys because I want you to picture this question addressed to you guys as a team. If you were a cult leader, what would your commune be like?
Oh, that's a really
like just thinking
joint
you guys,
question.
Yeah, joint question. You guys are the leaders of a cult.
Right.
And the Stokers kind of are your kind of cult community.
San Diego
would be perfect. Encinitas.
Encinitas.
Yeah, love that.
And it's also where Deepak Chopra has his center because it's in the vortex of like, you know, you can manifest more easily there.
Did not know that.
The vortex.
Yeah. What is this vortex?
There's an energetic vortex, you know, where the vibration is highest. And that's why Deepak Chopra is there.
Really?
It just so happens to be in the nicest place.
Deepak Chopra's like, I think we should move here. Why? There's a vortex. Yeah.
At the beach in San Diego. Yeah. Yeah,
that's why in like Sedona, Arizona, they're like, there's a vortex. Like, oh, dude, this fucking place is like, you can manifest. I'm like, I think it's just sick.
I think one thing we're super into is like positive hazing.
Yeah.
You know, like we shaved a line down the middle of our domes
right.
to raise awareness for the Amazon. And like we bleached our hair and we kind of like force each other to do stuff like that. But it's like always for a cause.
And it's team building.
Yeah. So positive. I think we'd have some positive hazing.
I love that.
You guys have a uni? Like robes or anything like that?
You'd be in charge of unis.
First thing that came to mind, I mean, you said robe kimono, maybe like floral kimono. floral kimono.
What do we lift in though?
What's up?
What do we lift in?
Floral kimono and Ray-Bans. Well, like what kind of weights?
No, like what do we work out in wardrobe wise?
Oh, right. I think nude. Kettlebells in the nude.
Does this sound sick enough? Like, will enough? Yeah, enough people want to come.
And I think every morning we wake up, we salute the sun with our b-holes.
Yeah, we do perineum sunning. Perineum sunning.
So like everyone lines up and the sun's rising and then you grab your ankles.
It's a beautiful ritual. All right, at JoeZo90, what's on your bedside table right now?
Truthfully, I have a lamp and a Chekhov book.
Yeah, well, I think it's a reference to what you're reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, but I like to know what is on the whole table.
A lamp.
Yeah.
I'm reading Chekhov.
And that's an acting book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Acting. I'm trying to read all the acting technique books right now. Yeah.
Are they helpful?
Yeah, I'm reading all these books. I just love reading about that. I've tried to read other shit like biographies and stuff. About other, but it's hard for me if it's
like,
about.
I just want to act.
Well, yeah, if it's about stuff where like that's like tangible that we're actually like doing. Yeah. That's the stuff I like to read. That where I'm like, oh, this like improves my.
You're gonna apply it in real life.
Yeah, and I also have tape because I tape my mouth shut when I sleep.
So, is that right?
Dude, nose breathing.
No way.
Wait, come on.
Wait, Todd.
Yeah.
Elaborate. What are the benefits of that?
So there's this book, Breath, by James Nestor, and he basically talks about mouth breathing, how terrible it is for you, essentially. When you mouth breathe, it like causes oral problems, oral hygiene problems, and then breathing through your nose, you just have natural filters in there. So I don't really know the science, but my brother told me to do
that. Was a good explanation.
You like that? Yeah.
Did
you?
Thank you.
I was fully bought in.
Yeah.
Right, and the nose breathing, it decreases anxiety and like breathing is so important that you kind of like don't really, you know, think about it because you just do it automatically.
Right.
But we're meant to breathe through our noses. And also when you mouth breathe, it changes the structure of your face. So when you nose breathe, you have more of like a
stronger jaw.
Yeah. When you like,
okay, I need that.
Yeah. More defined jawline.
Now we're cooking with gas. Right.
Yeah. No, that's the big thing. Aesthetics are number one. But my brother started doing it and I was like, you're fucking crazy. And then he's like, just try it one night. So I tried it one night. It's like best sleep of my life.
Really?
And you know, sometimes when you wake up, because we woke up super early one morning, we were like skiing. We woke up at like 5, and sometimes when we wake up super early, you're just like, I wasn't even, you know, not even just drinking, you're just super tired, where you have like a headache and you're just like, oh, I feel like shit. That's gone now. That's like when I wake up, that symptom of like early morning waking up is
the
gone.
The grogginess.
I would give anything to.
I am all in.
Yeah. What kind of tape are we talking about? Yeah.
It's like cloth tape.
So it's gentle on the skin.
Very gentle on the skin.
It's like bound and gag yourself.
Would my beard be an issue?
Possibly, but you could just do like a tiny bit so it's like there. Yeah.
Or is there any danger to like, I don't know.
Suffocate.
Yeah, like rolling on the like your nose pressed up against the pillow and you're like.
I thought about that. I don't think. Because
you'd wake up.
Yeah, I think you wake up. But I get nervous about advising people to do it because I don't want them to like die. but you do, I think you do wake up and I rip it off like in my sleep. In the middle of the night too, and I think you only have to do it for like 30 days to get the habit.
So you don't go all the way through the night every night.
No, and don't do it if you have a lady because they think it's weird.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, all right, that was
I
fun.
Think we all do right, really knew that.
But sleep is important, you know. That's a lesson I learned. I'm like, what are my priorities here?
You're like, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. All right, ready for bed. Yeah. Okay, all right, that was a fun night. Yeah. I'll just
What do you got on your bedside table, JT?
I don't have anything. My room is like, I don't even sleep in my room.
You sleep on the couch.
I sleep on the couch every night. So I have a coffee table that's like just stacked with books. I guess that's like my night table. And then
that counts.
But I'm reading one about the 90s Cowboys by the guy, Perlman, who wrote the book about the Lakers.
It's probably badass.
Dude, the Cowboys one's way better than
history,
the Lakers.
Or is it?
No, it's just straight.
About Irvin just like hammering blow before games.
Dude, Irvin is the fucking man. He's the man. Because like for all that crazy partying he did and a bunch of wild shit, like he just was the first guy at practice, last guy to leave, was like the total team leader, all for the squad. And it's way more inspiring than the Lakers one. You read the Lakers one and you're just like, all these guys suck. You kind of hate them all. But with the Cowboys one, you're like, these guys were the fucking best. Yeah, it's a way different vibe.
I was America's team. All right, back to the audience search question. At Hearts and Heaters asks, been on any good dates lately?
Yeah, I got some margs and tacos last night.
Hell yeah.
Last night?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You got some margs?
I got a couple margs.
Oh, you bad boy.
Yeah, Tuesday night margs. Yeah. It was a good day. She was in the system of a down, and I was like, fuck yeah. That fired me up.
And you had had to explain the hair thing, or you wore a hat?
I did. Now I text them before. I'm like, by the way, I'm part of this cause for deforestation, so I'm going to blind you then.
Icebreaker.
It is, yeah.
How'd you meet her?
Raya.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Very exclusive.
Yeah.
Very cool, very exclusive.
Yeah, I should say Hinge.
First date?
What's that?
Was it the first date?
It was the first date,
It went well.
Yeah, we vibed over System of a Down, which meant a lot to me. Because, you know, sometimes when I always feel like when you, like, what kind of music are you into? And it's like, there's stuff I'm into for the date.
Yeah,
you know, but then there's stuff that I listen to that you're like, do I bring up Slipknot? And then that just like came to be a part of the conversation. She's like, we were just talking about like mid-2000s, you know, like you got the same, you know, like early 2000s hip hop, and then like you know, she brought up Linkin Park, and I was like, what about System of a Down? She's like, love them. I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, what about Slipnot? Like
your voice got like progressively more hopeful. She's like, oh really? What about Slipnot?
Yeah. I was like, I was doing battle ropes to Pulse of the Maggots the other day. And she's like, I love that. I was like, thank you so much.
Battle ropes to Pulse of the Maggots.
It's a great overheard. I wish I could have been on the table next door.
Yeah.
I have a funny, like, taking an L on a date at my brother's wedding.
Yeah.
And I think I was motivated because my dad was kind of a bulldozer of a dude, but like in the best way. Like everything he does cracks me up, but in the moment it can shake me up a little bit. I'm like dancing up a storm, and then my dad comes up to me on the dance floor. He's like, you know you can't get ass, right? At my brother's wedding, I'm like, where's your head at, bro?
You're not allowed to?
No, he's just like saying I suck at it.
Like taunting you, yeah.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere, I'm just like dancing, boogieing. And then my dad just like stares into my eyes and he's like, you know, you can't get it. I called him about it like a week later. He's like, he had no recollection. Yeah. He's just like a fish. And then, so I don't know if that's what motivated me to do it, but I was like, no, I can. And then so I was on Hinge and I was like, hey, me and this pretty girl were talking. I was like, hey, do you want to come to my brother's wedding? And it was like late enough in the party and everybody was like tilted enough where it's like,
sure, sneaker into the afters.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like no one would even notice. And no one did. So she comes, she's like super cool. We're having a good time. And I don't know if it was my fault for like kind of, cause when she got there, I was like, hey, like I can't like be on your hip the whole time. I'm really sorry about that. But like, you know, cause
bars over there, hors d'oeuvres are still floating around.
But I was spending time with her. I was like, I don't think I was being like a negligent host.
Right.
And then at some point there was like this good looking dude at the wedding because guys started flocking to her. And I was like, oh, no big deal. Let her have fun, whatever. And then this really good looking guy and her started vibing. And then next thing I know, they disappeared for like an hour. But so I just live my life, go throughout the rest of the night. I don't even think we say goodbye. And then the next day I'm like, probably nothing happened. It's no big deal. Maybe I'm going to be in San Diego a couple days. Maybe I'll text her today. We'll go to the beach or something. And then I go to brunch and the good looking guy's like, hey, really sorry about last night, bro.
Oh
my God.
Oh, got him.
Oh my God.
And everybody knew.
Your dad know?
No, I told him later. He got a big kick out of it. But I think one of the girls at the wedding kind of had like a crush on me.
Right.
So she was like kind of taunting me about it all morning. Like she's like, did you hear that girl went home with like Bobby last night? I was like, yeah, I got it. I was like, I'm hungover. I'm just trying to grab some like Danish, man. I'm like, leave me alone, dude.
All right. At Ken Poley 3 wants to know which city council you boys hitting next.
Okay. We're doing like, it's not a city council, but we're going to Vegas.
Right.
For a cause speech.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And,
this weekend, right?
But but it'll actually be at a nightclub. So
nice.
Yeah,
we were in Vegas last weekend.
Oh, how was that?
It's epic. Yeah,
it's the best.
I love the way you described it.
A monument to like hedonism.
Spectacle and hedonism. Yeah. It's where I feel. It's like when people go to Yellowstone and they get that decompressed. That's what I feel in Vegas. Yeah. I just see people doing blow and just like lying to each other. I'm like, this is perfect. Like I'm home. God, some honest, good-hearted people. Yeah. But it makes everyone so happy. You get into an elevator in Vegas, and everyone's smiling ear to ear, and they're all just like, everyone's talking to each other. I'm like, look how happy we are just being like,
even playing field.
Yeah.
Do you guys? I remember you saying that for the city council stuff, you have to be very tactical nowadays because like you're celebrities doing these things.
Right. Yeah.
And the joke is known to them sometimes.
Some of them embrace it, right?
They love it.
They love it.
Well, because they're getting hammered that whole meeting. You know what I mean? There's a water shortage.
It's like it's a reprieve.
Yeah. Like there's like 500 citizens yelling at him because like the asphalt factory is like pumping out toxic fumes.
Yeah.
And then we come up there and we're like, you guys need a park where you can sun your butthole. And everyone's like, thank God. This is what we should be talking about.
What inspired the first city council, and when did you guys realize like, oh, this could be like an ongoing thing?
Franchise.
Yeah.
Well, I was always passionate about Paul. The first one was the Paul Walker statue.
Mm. Yeah.
And talking to JT about, you know, doing a speech to, you know, we need a cause to, you know, commemorate Paul and sort of unite the nation. And then I just saw that, you know, I saw that they film city council meetings. I was like, oh, you can go up there and you can give a speech and they film it. And then we just did it. And then honestly, and the first one just like caught on. It was like on the internet. We didn't even put it out.
It was literally the first one.
Yeah, someone else put it out. The San Clemente like Times.
Production is paid for you.
So there's no, there's no intention to film it. And you just knew it was going to be filmed, but you didn't know what was going to happen after that.
We knew it was going to be filmed. And I think we had the intention of putting it out.
Yeah.
But someone just already put it out before we had the chance to do that. So it was just out there. And we didn't realize for like 12 hours.
I remember like where I was when I saw that. It was so groundbreaking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anywhere special. It was just in the library. But I just remember
it was.
I was like, "This is incredible! This is incredible!"
Oh, thank you.
You guys are true comedy disruptors.
Oh,
it's sort of an OG viral video.
It is
that first one, like not exactly like Leroy Jenkins vintage, but like the second era of viral videos.
Second wave virality,
like a pioneer viral video.
No one's touching Leroy Jenkins. Truly,
the goat of viral videos.
For me, it's like Picasso, The Sopranos, Leroy Jenkins. In
That Bill Hader is the one who noticed. What did he say? These guys are so funny.
Yeah,
about the viral videos.
Party boy. He called you party boys.
Party boys. So funny.
That must have been such an epic moment of validation, just to have.
That was cool. Like, it was so random.
Yeah,
like,
I was going
to
say,
never
like,
expect Bill Hader to talk about you.
Because like, one of your boys was like, yo, I see Hader. It's like, shouted you out. You're like, what?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
All right. At Stoker underscore Toker. Stokers love the pod, especially when Strider is on. Who's the guest that gets you the most fired up?
Strider.
I would think that's a pretty legendary recurring appearance.
Yeah, he's the best.
You guys have been at the pod for a while. Like,
yeah, 3 years.
Yeah,
3 years.
Two and a half, I think. Yeah.
What was the original intent?
We kind of just, it was a lot of trial and error. We just started doing it, and it was like, started at like 20, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving advice, and us talking and giving advice to stokers, and then, yeah.
And getting really big guests, too. Like, at what point were you like, when you got a guest, you're like, oh, fuck, we have a real show now.
It's just so random. But like, Alex Bregman, when he came on.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I didn't even know he had him.
Yeah, it was so random.
I kind of hate him, honestly.
I know his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hannah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I should. You should probably bleep that out.
We'll bleep it. All right. At going shallow underscore 20 asks, who had the smallest dong at the march?
That's a good question.
Was it Strider?
You can't say that.
I got a few non sequitur Instagram messages to me of the New York Post article.
Oh, right.
That covered the small dong march.
Yeah.
And it was like non ironic, being like, oh my God, like, this is like, can you believe this? Like,
activists.
Yeah. These like guys, like, how ridiculous are these activists? 80% of the post readers are like, can't believe these fucking people. You know, take it seriously.
Dude, I will say too about the march, like when we were marching, there was probably like 100 people there. We genuinely thought there would be like 100,000. And then in the ramp up, the people who helped us put it on were like, well, don't you think guys would be embarrassed to like tell the world they have a small dong? And we've been talking about having small dicks for so long. I was like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah. Dude, we originally were like, this is gonna be huge. Put the word out. And it's so funny, like, talking to people, you know, it's like, you just talk to, they'd be like, hey, I saw your flyer for your small dog. And you're like, yeah, you gonna come?
The flyer that we went through, like, 9 drafts of.
Dude, yeah, we're like, this needs to be perfect. The people who did show up, though, were so passionate, and then like, dressed up, they made signs, and like, oh, that's all we need.
Right.
It's just like, people who are passionate, then it has.
It's a good metaphor for a small dong in general.
Exactly.
Like, it really isn't about the size.
Yeah.
It's about the passion and
the passion was there. Yeah.
They're a good group.
Yeah.
The last crowdsourced question at Kyle Smith asks, you guys played Fuck, Marry, Kill in a while? Remember how this works?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Fuck, Marry,
Marry,
Kill. The Ellen.
Oh, you thought that was the question?
Yeah. I thought that was the question.
Fuck, Marry, Kill. The Ellen Show, Waters World, the Howard Stern Show.
Whoa.
I think I'd marry Howard.
I would too.
I think I'd
ride the Sydney.
I'd fuck Waters World.
I'd fuck.
Yeah, and then I'd have to kill Ellen.
Right.
Yeah, she treats her workers shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think I'd
fucking Waters
World. I don't want to say I'd fuck Ellen. That feels wrong somehow.
Right. Yeah.
You can make love.
Marry Howard. Go on a date with Ellen. Probably kill Jesse. Sorry, dog.
I mean, Howard, that's the pinnacle of like shows to go on.
Yeah.
When they put you into that studio, do you have any preamble with him or Robin or anybody else? Or they drop you in cold and like let Howard do his thing?
We talked to writers before. We didn't talk to Howard at all before.
So your first time you sit down in the studio on the couch or whatever, like that's your first word spoken with him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's so...
That's kind of crazy. Like you have no idea how he's going to react.
And he's, and he's so, and especially given his reputation, we're like, is he going to like grill us? But he's so nice and supportive of us that, you know, he's just so charismatic that we were just sitting on the couch and like, you just instantly felt comfortable. And it was like very surreal in the studio because it was like all purple and like rock and roll and they just usher you in. It's like Howard, like talking into the mic and you hear his voice in person. It was like unreal. Like, it's sort of like a dream. And then you're just talking to him and then. But they set it up so well that you just feel like instantly you could feel why people
they can
just,
open up there.
Yeah.
He loves talking about
really, penis. Really yeah. open.
He's
up.
The number one penis conversationalist in the world.
Huge.
Yeah.
He's tops.
Yeah. I was just listening to Kevin Bacon on the Best of Stern just the other week, and he's like, "I bet you got a big old dick. Let me see that big penis."
Who is he talking to?
Kevin Bacon. He's just like, he has this like radical transparency. He's married to Keira Sedgwick. She's like, I mean, but you're getting tons of pussy back in the day. You're married to a very beautiful woman. I'd love to fuck your wife, Kira. I'd love to fuck your wife. But I bet you're getting, you know, a lot of girls want to fuck you, and I bet you got a big dick.
Yeah. That's a good Howard, dude.
He's really disarms, like, just by being hornier than everybody else.
Yeah.
And people respect it. But you work a long time to get to the level where you're allowed to be like that with everybody.
I was going
to
say, his range is crazy, because he'll be in the living room of every American family on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
As like,
but that's what Stern is known for.
Like a very wholesome judging, like Grace Vanderwaal, some like young singer, like you're incredible. And then he'll be like, hey, you gotta
next morning. You gotta be
literally the same day.
Let me see that schlong.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
He's like, my penis is 1.5 inches flaccid. I can get to 4 or 5 erect. Yeah. All right, the segue for the Waters World question is this whole, like, what do they think the Fox watching audience thinks of you guys when you're on that show? When they approach you, they're like, they call it for what it is. Like, you guys are comedians, like, we want to have you on the show as a joke, but is there a part of you that thinks, like, a majority of the audience watching that is like, these are liberal cuckoos.
Those California nuts and fruits.
Yeah, trying to get weed legalized, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the comments, it's like, this is the majority of, like, why are you having these idiots on? They're too stoned.
Right.
This is ridiculous. Why is Jesse wasting our time?
Right.
Unlike the YouTube. And the tweets, too.
Compared to Jesse's typical hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah. The tweets, too, they'll post about it, and the tweets will be like, not these fucking guys again. they're just, it's like Karen in Iowa, just like.
Yeah. It makes me think of those memes that you see of, like, you know, like grandmas who can't figure out how to use Facebook, and they're like typing into their status, like, Dolores, like, email me back.
With
the pictures, just like an 80-year-old grandma. Like, that's the audience.
Yeah.
It is, like, before we would go on, sometimes, you know, you'd have your headphones on, you're watching this segment before, and you'd be like, next up, we got Sebastian Gorka telling us if God really does want Trump to be in office. Just kind of like look at me, but, well, this is pretty wild.
Right before your segment.
Yeah, right before our segment. I'm just watching in their like little control room. Yeah,
what a name drop, Gorka, dude. Yeah. That guy is straight out of.
Didn't he die?
No. Very much alive. But he's a super villain straight out of a movie.
Yes.
And he has that voice. And so,
yeah. You know.
And they would ask us like the same questions they were asking. They'd be like, the Nunez memo. I was like, well, piggybacking off Sebastian.
How many times have you guys been on that show?
We probably did 10 times or something.
You're literally recurring guests.
We got banned. We're not allowed on anymore because the small dong stuff.
Yeah.
We went on there and kind of threw a curveball. And we're like, yo, we got small dicks. That, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
We followed Kellyanne Conway one time, too. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. It was like Kellyanne Conway was doing this, and we're like, up next, the Party Bros. They're just like, in between, you know, they'd be like, all right, you guys are going to be on next. Do a little dance for the camera, you know? And so it'd be like, you know, they'd be going into break, and then it'd just be us.
Like, some like playful B-roll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're just like,
did you guys notice like big bumps in following or like attention after you would make those appearances? Like, I mean, that type of exposure is huge.
Especially if we posted it. If we posted it or if someone else posted it, then it helped a lot.
Ellen's probably the most mainstream of those appearances. If you think about audience size.
That was huge.
That was huge
audience.
You know what's funny too, thinking about it now, is like when we did Ellen, they prepped the shit out of you. Like we probably ran our like rehearsed our interview like 100 times with their producer,
who really
was a super nice lady. And then what's funny about Fox is zero prep. they were like, Ellen's talking to us about fish tacos and Fox is talking to us about immigration. And one is like 3 weeks of prep and one is like 5 minutes before we walk in. They're like, hey, we're doing immigration.
One's just like, just watch what Gorka says before.
we're ready, bro.
Dude, one time we were in the makeup room, and there's a guy in the other room, in the other control room, giving an interview, and he's yelling about some shit. He's yelling about like immigration or something. He's like, these people coming in the country, and he's like yelling, and we're just in there like, whoa. And he comes out like sweating, and he's like, whew. And he just like beelines it out. It just doesn't even acknowledge us. He's like, yeah, I did a good job in there. You remember that?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy was nuts.
These people remind me of like Roger Clemens before he pitches a baseball game, like putting Icy Hot on his balls.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Is that what he used to do?
We talked to Johnny Damon a few weeks ago, and we were like talking about some of the guys he plays with. And he says Clemens, to get fired up before pitching, he would put Icy Hot on his balls.
Raging
to,
bull.
To get to get like angry like a bull does before a bull fight.
I don't know if you've ever done that or accidentally. Yeah. Like it's put on your thigh and it touches your balls.
Yeah.
It is so fucking painful.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
All right. We are going to play a little game. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but I wrote it as Get Stoked. So one of the best things I think you guys do is ceaselessly positive spin. Optimism, make people feel good about things. We're going to give you some topics, and can you sort of do maybe even a Fox News-esque spin zone on how to make these topics like more positive and get people hyped for them?
Yeah.
We'll all contribute. We'll all contribute. Some of them are going to be pretty easy. Some of them will be pretty hard. We got to find ways to like get people stoked on them.
Sweet. Right?
We'll go rapid fire through them. How do we get stoked on Chris Pratt as Mario? Nothing to get hyped about.
I did not anticipate how upset people would be that he is Mario. Like, people are pissed.
It's because he has a bad accent?
No, I think it's
because he's not Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Maybe like diversification of perspectives. Like, all of us are more alike than different, so everybody can play
that's a hell of a spin zone. Role. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's an opportunity for him to showcase his range.
There you go.
I think this is his time, you know, because he's always playing kind of, you know, leading man, Jurassic World guy, but this is his character actor moment.
Yeah.
And it's time for him to step up.
Did you see?
I believe in him.
This is where the Oscar buzz starts.
You see what Mario? I think it was like the studio heading came out and said that what his accent is going to be. He is not going to appropriate any sort of like Italian culture or accent. And so it's like, so he's just doing Chris Pratt's voice.
This is going to be,
So how's he going to say, it's a me, Mario? Is he just going to say like how I said it?
Yeah.
But then he also followed it up.
It's
like,
me.
But like the voice he's doing is incredible. So if he's not doing a Mario,
right?
He's doing a totally different character that's not his voice. Like what direction is this going in?
Is it live
it's
action?
It's me, Mario.
I think it's animated.
It's animated. Okay, good.
You know how we can get
live action.
Wait, I know it's. I thought it was live.
I thought it was live action too. So they're not only. Like, why do they need Chris Pratt?
Why do you need Pratt? Yeah.
If he's not.
Hey, let's start positive.
I think I got a positive spin. Is that like you got it? You should hope he is going to do an Italian accent, and you should hope it's an abomination. And just hope for like the biggest disaster possible. Yeah.
So the next time we won't make the same mistake.
Well, and also because movies last longer. Like memories.
Cats level. Cats level.
Yeah,
disaster.
Exactly. Like we all talk about Kevin Costner's accent in Robin Hood, which when I was a kid, I didn't even think it was bad. I was like, it's fucking guys from England. But like, like that movie probably has a longer
shelf life
because of all the mistakes and how ridiculous it is. Perfect. So I would say root for a 1,000,000,000% like Chris Pratt being an asshole.
Root for the cult status.
Yeah, exactly.
So bad it's good.
All right. Your boy moving out to live with his girlfriend.
True love. I mean, that's, you know.
Always in support of true love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had this with Strider when he moved out with his lady.
Don't dog your boy.
And it was, I was just fired up for him. Yeah. You got to be happy for them. And then I think like they'll bring you over for dinner there sometimes, and then
you're not losing a best friend, you're gaining another.
It lights a fire under your ass to find what they have too.
You tape your mouth real tight.
Yeah,
sure that.
That was like a 3-pronged positive answer.
Yeah, right, that was they knocked out the park.
And it makes you believe in love.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Make it 4.
Let's go next topic is a tough one. Your parents getting divorced.
What do you think about it?
No, positive spin.
Oh. Just asking me.
Ours already are divorced.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
Well, I think two Christmases, two vacations. They want to spoil you more, so you know you're going on a cruise. You learn a lot about yourself, and you know, as like a, you know, it's like you have something to like. If people are like, you haven't been through struggle, and you're like,
well,
my parents are divorced.
Check out this badge of honor.
Yeah. And also, you know, if it's not working, it's probably for the best.
Yeah, like ultimately, aren't at least one of the parents happier?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, in my parents' case, both of them are way happier now that they're broken up, so it's way better.
Yeah,
I'm like, you guys should have done this shit earlier. You guys are way fucking cooler like this. Yeah.
All right, getting dumped.
Oh, it's the best. You gotta take your hits. Yeah. I don't, like, if you look at it, like, every athlete we admire, like Jordan or LeBron or John Elway, whoever it is, they all took huge L's on, like, the highest stage because they had to learn from that so that they could come back the next time and actually make it happen. And so I do think you gotta lose before you can win. So yeah. I think it's a valuable learning. And then you learn from that person what you weren't getting that you should hope for in the next person.
Yeah. It's beautifully said.
Absolutely.
All right, for some of our older listeners who are contemplating having a kid, being a dad.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm super looking forward to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're stoked on that?
Yeah, I think
what a lot of responsibility.
I think that makes you grow too, right?
I have no desire to be a dad.
Tell him why.
Because I'm afraid my kid's going to be a dork.
In what way?
I think... What's up?
In what way?
Nah, I don't know. I think
he's not like a shitty kid.
No, I think
that sucks.
Yeah, dude. How's your kid? He sucks, dude.
Like, he's nice as hell, but he just sucks.
I've heard so many people.
Everyone's like, your kid's so sweet. Yeah, but he sucks. Yeah.
Not cool at all. No, you know what? Actually, I was thinking about this because we were talking about it the other day. I was like, if my kid was dork, I would love the shit out of him because I think I would find it adorable.
Dude, my dad was an awesome dad, and like every one of my T-ball games, he was just on his cell phone the whole time.
Best piece of advice that a guy who has a kid gave to me was that everyone who says like nothing will change about your life when you have a kid is a liar because you get worse at every single other thing that you do when you have a kid.
Mm. Dude, I'm telling you, you guys, you got to meet my parents because my parents did whatever the fuck they wanted. They were still super solid parents, but my parents partied all the time.
Right.
And my dad worked his ass off. But they just like...
It's like the Michael Irvin of dads.
Yeah, exactly. I had like the Michael Irvin of dads and like... I think what these other parents don't get is they're being too soft towards their kids. Like, they think their kids can't take it. The kids can take it, dude.
Last thing, banana boat. Are we doing two banana boats or one banana boat joint? Because we got two of them. They're going to have a bigger banana boat. So I think they should make one.
What do you guys think?
Oh, right.
You guys feeling
synergetic? I mean, he's on my banana boat,
Okay, let's do it separately. But do you guys remember the setup here?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go.
Dream banana boat, and you get a driver as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody piloting.
And we're going to make these into Photoshop.
And you're on it, obviously. So you have three other people you can choose. And then the driver, the pilot.
Well, Chad's a given. Chad's on my banana boat. George Saunders or Steven Soderbergh. I'd have like one artist on there. And then the dude in the front would be an athlete. Probably be Irvin or maybe, dude, who is it? Bradley Van Pelt. Do you remember him?
No.
He was a dual threat quarterback from Colorado State in like 2001. And he couldn't really chuck it that good. But when he was playing against Colorado, he was running into the end zone on like a 30-yard scamper. And as he went into the end zone, the linebacker was catching up to him. And as the linebacker was tackling him, he turned around and spiked the football off the guy's helmet. And it was like, when you're like a 12-year-old and you just watch movies all day, you're like, quarterback doesn't need to be able to throw or even run. Just has to have heart and be a leader. And this guy was like the embodiment of that. He was just all heart out there. So,
was his name Bradley Van Pelt?
Bradley Van Pelt. Good quarterback.
Okay, that's an awesome guy to have on there. Just, I think between Soderbergh and Saunders... Soderbergh has more of like a look. We're gonna make a Photoshop.
Oh, go with Soderbergh. Yeah,
because he's got his steezy sort of like, I don't know, glasses, bald.
But yeah, he's like the quintessential looking director.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a great banana boat, by the way.
Thank you,
Chad. Do you have a banana boat?
Okay, we got JT.
Yeah,
and then mine's a character banana boat.
Perfect.
One with flow though.
Flow from Progressive.
From Progressive.
No. Although she'd be sick, she'd keep us protected. We got Cliff Booth.
Yeah.
From Brad Pitt and One Spot in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We got Colin Farrell in Miami Vice.
Nice.
Just the man. Justin Herbert with the flow.
With the flow. I heard you talk about him on the pod. Yeah.
Dude, he's a beast.
He's a beast.
And then the driver is Ryan Gosling's character in Drive.
Oh, that is a fucking great answer.
Yeah. With a spider or a scorpion jacket on.
And a toothpick. And driving gloves.
He's got a Bluetooth playing the Drive soundtrack.
Yeah.
All time great soundtrack.
It's the best.
Dude, we're going to make those. We'll mock them up. We'll make them in a little frame so you can put them on your desk at home.
Dude, thank you.
Or on your bedside if they're lacking.
Next to the tape. But yeah, Chad and JT, that's our podcast. Thanks
for
coming.
That was so fun, dude. Yeah. You guys are the best, man.
Yeah. Great hang, dude.
So great coming to the office, too. This place is sick as hell, man.
Cheers, L'chaim. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on Friday Beers Podcast, right?
Cheers,
boys. Thank you guys so much for having us. You guys are legends, beasts. And the prep, too. That was awesome.
Yeah, we prep them. We're more like Ellen than Fox News.
Ha ha ha.